Thank you, Melissa. I'm a relative newcomer at Cross Creek. This is only my second year, but I'm absolutely thrilled at what I see God doing in this school, guys. It's pretty awesome what he's doing. Melissa is a wonderful principal. She loves the Lord, and she has to make a lot of tough decisions. I'm glad I'm not her. But her desire, the desire of her heart, I'm telling you, is to do things God's way. That's what she wants above everything else. Let's do this the Lord's way. She's been an enormous blessing to me and an enormous encouragement to me and help to me personally, and I'm very thankful to get to serve the Lord with her. I don't need to tell you that in recent years, our culture in the United States has kind of done a cannonball dive into the pool of secularism, right? You know that. I guess I should say the cesspool of secularism. You know what I'm talking about. In particular, the sexual revolution. And so as we, for the most part, as a people, have kind of fully embraced secularism, many Americans, including many who might be considered part of the elite in our educational systems and in our government, have decided that we don't really need God anymore to tell us what's right or what's wrong or what's good or what's bad. We've decided we'll figure out for ourselves what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Now, God never gets frantic, so he very calmly says to us, if we'll listen, no, you can't do that. But we have basically rebelliously said, oh, yes, we can. We decided we're not hurting anybody, and we decided if we're not hurting anybody, then it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. God says, the problem is you can't look far enough down the road into the future to know whether it's hurting anybody or not. You need me to reveal that to you. And we say, well, God, I'm not sure I can trust you because I've got experts that tell me that this is okay. I've got friends who think it's okay. And not only that, I think this behavior just works for me. So I think I'll trust my experts and my friends and my own intuitions. And God says, okay, you're free to choose your own behavior, but I've got to warn you, you're not free to choose your consequences. You're going to have to live or die with the consequences of your choices. And I'm warning you, the consequences are going to be worse than you think. And so there's a world out there swirling around us as it's on its way down the toilet, and they think they're free. And they're doing their very best to convince themselves and to convince us and to convince our kids to follow their example. And the temptation to follow the example of those who are making those kind of decisions, decisions that God says are very, very wrong, very, very bad, very deadly, but decisions that at the moment can seem appealing, pleasant, fun, reasonable, logical, emotionally appealing. Maybe to some people it seems loving and kind. That temptation can be very, very, very powerful. I heard J.D. Greer the other day talking about a video trick that some guys had put together and videoed. I guess it's on YouTube somewhere. I haven't seen it. I just heard him talking about it. But they waited for a man to get on an elevator in a high-rise building. And he went up to the first floor, and the door opened, and another guy walked in the elevator and immediately walked to the back of the elevator and turned his face to the back of the elevator with his nose right up against the wall of the elevator. And they go on up to the second floor. And some more guys get on the second floor and do the same thing. Walk to the back of the elevator and face the back. Go to the third floor. Another guy comes on, does the same thing. Well, you know what happened, don't you? The guy who got on first said, I guess that's the way you're supposed to be on this elevator. He turned around and did the same thing. I mean, that pressure's powerful. The same guys put together another video where they found a guy alone in a doctor's waiting room. And one of the guys went into the waiting room with him and took off his shirt and took off his pants and sat down in his underwear. And a few minutes later, another one came in and did the same thing. A few minutes later, another one came in and did the same thing. You know what happened? Yeah. That guy took off his shirt and pants. I mean, you know, he didn't know why they were doing that, but that's what the crowd's doing. That's what I'm going to do, I guess. You know, it's amazing. It's very, very hard to go against the crowd, guys. It's hard for all of us, but it's especially hard for kids. But many very influential crowds in our country today, including, I think, the main crowds are going in very bad directions. In the Bible, God says the fool has said in his heart, can you finish it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He says that twice in Psalms. And then he kind of underlines it in the New Testament in Romans chapter 1. Paul wrote this. Of course, he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's writing about men who decided they didn't need God to tell them what's right and what's wrong. They decided for themselves. He said this, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like to call people fools. It sounds kind of ugly, doesn't it? Doesn't sound very nice. But God knows who the fools are, and God calls them what they are. He doesn't hesitate. But now listen very closely. Scripture I'm going to share with you next. He says something else about fools, and I don't want us to miss this. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Did you get that? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, I want to be very careful what I say next. I hope this doesn't come out wrong. For many years, I was a public high school teacher. I taught math, physics, ACT prep, taught in public schools in Dallas County, Texas, and here in Tennessee. And through the years, I've had some wonderful, godly friends, high school teachers and administrators. I still do. And I've known some wonderful, godly kids that attend public schools. I still do. But unfortunately, the public schools can't put up a sign out front that says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, no fools allowed. They can't do that. They can't say, claiming to be wise, they became fools, no fools allowed. No. Public schools can't say to teachers who reject God, and many of them do, or maybe just as bad, neglect God, you know what I mean? They can't say to those teachers, you know what, we're afraid you might be a bad influence on our kids. You're probably not going to do a good job helping our kids trust Jesus. You're probably not going to do a very good job helping them learn how to pray. You're probably not going to do a very good job helping them learn the scriptures. So you can't teach here. They can't do that. Public schools can't say to students who reject God, you know, we think you're going to be a bad influence on our Christian kids. You can't come to school here. They can't do that. And while there really are many godly teachers and godly administrators and godly students in public schools, and like I said, I know some of them, there are also some ungodly ones. And by the way, I think there are many teachers in our public schools who really do love Jesus, but they're intimidated. They're scared. So they don't talk about Jesus, not with the kids, not in a public school environment. And one of the biggest challenges for Christian parents of kids in public schools is peer pressure and teacher pressure from highly secularized people. You've probably known parents who raise more than one child, and one child turns out to be very godly. Another one goes into serious rebellion. Why does that happen? Parents probably raised them pretty much the same way, same principles. What happened? Well, often the answer lies in the companions those kids decided to keep. Often the answer is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And listen, we can tell kids, and we should tell kids. I tell kids all the time. I told a bunch of them today that if your friends are influencing you to do the wrong things more than you're influencing them to do godly things, you need some new friends. But guys, that's a lot easier to say than to do. It's tough for the kids. So we can help them by making sure, to the best of our ability, that they're in an environment where they'll have the most opportunity to walk with the wise. But there are many, many families with kids in public schools who are suffering terrible consequences because they've ignored this verse. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. Let me give you an example. I'm sure all of you are very familiar with the LGBTQ, and it goes on and on, LGBTQ+. You know what I'm talking about. This movement It has a powerful grip on our culture today. And many of the leaders of the sexual revolution are doing everything they can to make sure it gets firmly implanted in the public schools. And for the most part, they're succeeding. And they're using peer pressure to their advantage. Let me give you an example. Are you familiar with it's a fairly new phenomenon, I think, called rapid onset gender dysphoria? It's a real thing. Have you heard it? Rapid onset gender dysphoria. You need to look that up. It occurs in the context of being a part of a peer group where at least one and sometimes several friends of a child have become gender dysphoric, transgender identified during the same time frame. Parents of those kids usually report that their children started exhibiting an increase in social media and internet use just before they revealed that they were now taking on a transgender identity. So there was one 12-year-old girl who was being bullied specifically for going through early puberty. Her parent wrote, as a result, she said she felt fat and hated her breasts. She learned online that hating your breasts is a sign of being transgender. She edited her diary by crossing out existing text and writing in new text to make it appear that she's always felt that she's transgender. Here's another. A 14-year-old girl and three of her girlfriends were taking group lessons together with a very popular coach. The coach came out as transgender. Within 1 year, all four of those girls announced that they were also transgender. Another 14-year-old girl and three of her girlfriends were part of a larger group of friends that spent a lot of their time talking about gender and sexuality stuff. The three girlfriends all announced they were coming out as trans boys and chose similar masculine names. After spending time with these three friends, the 14-year-old girl announced she was also a trans boy. These are kids who needed some time walking with the wise, and they didn't get it. There's an English teacher in the Dallas area by the name of Auguste Meyrot. He's a good guy. He happens to be the chairman of the English department at the Colony High School. Some of you may be familiar. It's just north of Dallas. He's been in public schools for many years. He's made it his business to try to understand what's going on in our public schools. Listen to what he wrote. I just want to quote a few paragraphs from his article. Indoctrination happens through many channels: entertainment, speeches, and censorship. But its main instrument is the school system. Teachers have a captive audience of malleable young minds for several years. They may not have figured out how to make students smart and productive, but they can at least make them submissive and obedient. A little later in the article, he said, in such a system, thinking is only the articulation of opinion. It has no bearing on truth. This means that people don't really need to think critically and understand why they believe what they do, which is what we're trying to teach in Veritas, by the way. They just need to have the right viewpoint and force others to conform like they've been forced to conform. They engage in arguments where the loudest voice wins because no one's points are better than another. They pressure instead of persuade. He goes on, indoctrination is complete when perception, in other words, whatever's on the screen, whatever an expert says, whatever is popular, really does become reality for most people because they're too stupid or apathetic to respond rationally. And he concludes with this. The only real solution, he said, to indoctrination then is good teachers. Good teachers, which include parents, mentors, and other knowledgeable adults, train students in methods of thought while supplying the stuff of thought. They teach a person to evaluate an argument properly, find actual solutions to problems, and determine what's true and what's false. That's the end of the quote. Cross Creek is here because we want kids to have the opportunity and experience of walking with the wise so that they can become wise. Now, we're not perfect, but the desire of our heart and our prayer is that we will communicate God's truth, God's principles for life, God's love to these kids. And if we can help them learn to love Jesus and trust Jesus and love the Scriptures and trust the Scriptures and think biblically. Personally, if your child ends up in one of my classes, I want you to know I'll be praying with those classes, every single class, every single day, every single period, usually twice in each period, first class, end of class. I'll also share a verse with every class, every day, and try to help your child get to know Jesus just a little bit better every day. I'll pray with them personally if they let me know they have a prayer need. I'll remind them often if they'll do things God's way, they won't have regrets. We have a great principal. We have great teachers. We have great staff. They love Jesus. They love kids, and they love Jesus. And they'll do anything they can to help your child and any other child that comes into this building get stronger in the Lord at the same time they're getting a good education. And listen, there are more kids out there that need that. They need what we have to offer. But we're pretty limited right now by our resources, our facilities, what we can do. So what we're doing tonight is asking you to pray. Just pray. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? How do we handle this? How can we make it possible for more kids to be exposed to what God's doing at Cross Creek, the wisdom that God's given at Cross Creek, for more kids to be trained to become godly, Christ-like leaders in a culture that you know is desperately in need of godly, Christ-like leaders, to stay in the battle. Even if the battle gets hot, and it will, stay in the battle until God calls us home. That's what we're here for. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for these people who are here. I thank you for Randy. I thank you for Melissa. I thank you for all the teachers and staff at Cross Creek. Lord, you're doing something awesome here. And Lord, we pray that we'll all be sensitive to you, to be led by you, because we see so many kids going down the wrong path. They're not getting a chance to walk with the wise. They're companions of fools. And Lord, we see them going to horrible consequences. So would you work things out in your own perfect way, in your own perfect time, so that you can use Cross Creek to help these kids, to help more families, to help kids become strong leaders, followers of Jesus, in a culture that's so desperately in need of you. Lord, we need you. We can't do this without you. You're in charge. So do whatever you have to do to get glory for yourself, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.